Yes, we are the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan behind the glass, and we are officially in it for week one. We have many matchups to look forward to. Number one, Texas is taking on number three, Ohio State, on the road at noon on Saturday. I know Mama Mack will be flying her Ohio State flag this weekend.
Is that right?
She's a Buckeye. What? You always knew Ohio State was playing because you could hear her yelling.
Oh, man, it's probably time for me to change out the flag in the front of my house. I go back and forth between my Bama flag and my USA flag, you know, just depending on what time of year it is. But it's definitely that time of year to put the old Crimson Script A back out front as well so the neighbors know what time it is. No, that's interesting, though. I like that. It is. I can't remember. Bo would have to help me with this. I can't remember a more anticipated quarterback debut. And not that he hasn't played or started games, but Arch Manning making his debut with this, you know, number one Texas team is going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah, there's. I'm sure there's been them.
The only thing I can think of is Tim Tebow in 07.
Yeah, but I feel like that was a little bit different because they were coming off a national title win, and he was a lot bigger part of that national championship season than people want to give him credit for in 06.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Tennessee game in 06 where they need that big fourth down in Knoxville on a Saturday night, and he gets that more. I mean, he played the LSU game where he has the jump pass in 06 for the touchdown.
Like he scored a tut against us. We were down there in Gainesville that year.
Yeah, pretty sure he did. He had pivotal little moments in every game. It felt like that they needed it, you know, in a national, you know, and that led them to win the title that year. This Arch Manning thing's a little bit different, but Ohio State and Texas, if I'm not mistaken, have opened the season up years ago like this before. I like it. I just hate the damn games at noon.
Yeah,
and I know that's what it really is what Fox wants. And that's the TV aspect of this. I don't even think Ohio State really wanted the game at noon.
I hate to even bring this up, but how are we feeling about the Dave Portnoy stuff? Dave Portnoy, it was announced kind of late last night that is not going to be allowed inside the stadium. He's part of Fox's broadcast this year, but when they all go to the stadium for pregame, he's not going to be allowed in.
If I'm Michigan, Urban Meyer's not allowed in the stadium. When they do it, when they want, if they're at Michigan, Urban Meyer can kick it. He can keep his ass outside too. And I don't hate Urban Meyer.
I agree with you.
But I mean, if you want to start this crap,
yeah,
because I think I'm not a Dave Portnoy defender. I really don't care either way.
I fit in the same box you're talking about right now.
I think that he's done great for himself. That's great. I don't
happy for him.
I get annoyed with his Michigan fanboy crap. But I don't really care either way. But if you're going to tell me that a guy working on the broadcast is paying you, that's helping you receive millions of dollars, can't enter the stadium because you've got some issue with who he pulls for, then Urban Meyer is no longer allowed in here.
That's a really good point.
So if we want to start, and I don't like the precedent this sets.
I'm with you.
So
like him or hate him, he's part of the media right now, and he's part of Fox.
Yeah, so what are we doing?
I know that he's raised money and brought in millions or whatever, you know, to pay Bryce Underwood, but mostly not his money. He's just
If Auburn is a top five, if Auburn gets a game day when they play Georgia or something, are we not going to, are they going to say, well, Nick, you know, college game day is here, but Nick Saban, you can't come inside the stadium and watch the game.
It's a great point.
This is just crap we can't start. Of course, Big Ten teams are doing this. I mean, what do you expect?
Well.
Number nine, LSU is taking on number four, Clemson, on the road Saturday at 7:30.
This is in actual Death. Well, some people would call it Death Valley, right? I don't want to. But this is not a. This is a game that would scream neutral site. I'm pretty sure this is at Clemson, which is crazy. And this is going to be a battle of the real Death Valleys, like they'll call it. Although Brian Kelly's already taken some opening shots, as has Dabo as well. So it's got to be a pretty good one, man. I don't have any idea what to expect out of this game, which is kind of awesome.
You know, the problem for me with this game is I don't necessarily hate either team. It is at Clemson. But the fan bases of both annoy the holy hell out of me.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. I like both these fan bases.
You like these fan? You like?
I genuinely like both of these fan bases.
I respect the fan bases because their fan bases that always show up no matter what. Like, I don't remember ever watching Clemson play a game, even when they had Tommy Bowden.
Oh, yeah.
And
I was there for that.
And they would show up. And when LSU had Jerry DiNardo running the program into the ground, they would show up. But there's some entitlement that comes from both, and it's very there are fans that look down their nose at other people, and I'm not a big
that's one. Crazy. I've never gotten that vibe from either one of those teams. I'm a huge fan of both these programs. I genuinely if my kid came to me and was like, "Hey, I'm going to LSU or Clemson," I'd be like, "All right, man, have at it."
Oh, I wouldn't tell my kid not to go there. I just don't like the entitlement that comes with some of the, and it's not all of them. Although the point that I'll say this is that, do you pull for the SEC or Clemson here? I've always struggled with that whole pull for your conference.
There's a right answer. I don't need LSU getting off on the right foot, but
it does.
I guess Clemson neither.
I'll say this though: both of our teams have to play them, LSU, and it's a better win and a better loss. If that's where it goes, if you're thinking about playoff hopes.
I don't know. We're both on Team Georgia Tech this year, I feel like, to make an ACC run.
Yeah,
not that this is going to change that.
It's not going to affect Georgia Tech.
The early inkling, if you will.
Let me tell you something. If Georgia Tech wins 10 games in the ACC, they're probably in the conference title game. So just how it is.
Okay. Number 6, Notre Dame is taking on number 10, Miami, on the road Sunday at 7:30.
No feel for this game whatsoever.
I was about to say, I literally just shrugged my shoulders like, no clue. This would be the Carson Beck coming out party, or it could be the Carson Beck, everybody going at Georgia going, I told you.
Both teams are in a transition as far as quarterback. I mean, obviously it's a stopgap for Miami again. I would, if you want me to, here's the problem. The better coach is Notre Dame's Marcus Freeman, but Notre Dame has to go to Miami. Yet Miami is one of the crappiest home fields that there is as far as home field advantage. But this is a big game, and it is the first game of the year, so it's kind of a push, because I think where the advantages are, they're kind of equaling out. Miami had a good team last year, but Notre Dame had a better team. But how many players, they've lost players like Xavier Watts, right? So Riley Leonard. So they have the better backfield. But I just don't know. It's very up in the air for me.
Well, I do want to mention Alabama might be without their starting guard, Jaden Roberts, for their season opener at Florida State.
Alabama fans will tell you this is not an issue. I'm going to tell you it is.
Okay.
All right, I'm just going to throw that out there. They're supposed to have one of the best offensive line, at least top five in the country. I don't love what they've got going on at the guard spots at either one, so we'll see what happens with that. But
yeah, at least you're opening with Florida State.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Well, and Florida quarterback DJ Lagway will start Saturday against Long Island University after dealing with a calf strain for the bulk.
Big game.
Yeah, massive one.
They should treat this like a preseason game. He should play 3 series and he should get the hell out of there, because after 3 series, it should be 21-0.
Big showdown.
Well, look, when you play Texas and Texas A&M and LSU and the murderer's row that Florida plays, I don't blame them playing Long Island.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, Sports Radio 929 The Game is your home of live college football coverage in Atlanta this Saturday at 8 a.m. We get the day started with college football game time. That's John Fricke, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, and Garrett Chapman will set the stage for all the big matchups. And we have a big week one contest all weekend long on 92.9 The Game, with Cincinnati facing Nebraska Thursday at 8:30, Texas at Ohio State Saturday at 11:30, Notre Dame at Miami Sunday at 7:30, and North Carolina hosting TCU Monday at 7. That's all this weekend on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You two are both dads, so I need to know how you would handle this situation.
I'm nervous for my kid already.
Bo, you're going to have to use your imagination and project 4 years out into Pork Chop's life, okay?
Wow.
All right. She's going to get a whipping. I'm just kidding.
So a 4-year-old ended up with multiple cops showing up to his birthday party.
Oh, dear God.
Here is what happened. Little Micah got a little bit bored when his dad was doing laundry. Decided he just needed to call someone and talk. Well, he ended up calling 911. And he just started talking to the operator about how much he loves soccer and swimming.
Wow.
That's all he was doing.
Wow.
He just needed someone to talk to, his favorite sport. So, of course, two police officers went to do a welfare check just to make sure everything was okay. And they let Micah, they were really cool about it. They let Micah explore their patrol cars. And, of course, his dad was incredibly embarrassed.
Yeah. I would say embarrassed is the right word, yeah.
What would you, like, so let's say ring, ring, Ridge is making that call. What would you do?
Well, first of all, let me back up here because I can guarantee you this is what probably happened in this household. They've probably been trying to teach him about safety.
Yep.
And doing different things. They probably taught him what 911 was. So I would be like, from that sense, I'd be almost proud. I'd be like, hey, you really remembered what 911 was. I must not have hammered home what exactly it was for, but at least you remembered the phone number. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you understand the seriousness of this situation, and most four-year-olds do not. And my son just turned five, and I guarantee you he doesn't understand the seriousness of the situation. But I guarantee you what has happened is they've had that phone call. It's like, hey, you know, you start – this is the age where you start learning your address,
right,
your mom and your dad's phone numbers, and, you know, who to call in case of an emergency, and that's probably exactly the lessons they've been going through. So a part of me is like, good for you, man.
Right.
But also, like, the look on your face when the patrol cars start showing up, you're like, dear God.
Right, right.
Oh, my God.
Bo, I mean, you get to have serious conversations.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? It's a four-year-old that just was playing with your phone and – called somebody, and next thing you know, it's innocent, you know, it's not malicious. I mean, you just have to explain the situation of why we don't do that, why we don't call the police unless there is an emergency, and explain that an emergency is not you're bored.
But here's what ended up happening, because while Michael is exploring these patrol cars and like hanging out with the cops, like super cool day, he blurted out that it's his birthday tomorrow.
Oh.
And so, you know, one of the police officers clocked that. His name is Michael and was like, this kid called just to talk about how much he loves soccer and swimming. He showed up, rolled up with multiple police officers the next day and had a brand new soccer net for Micah.
Yes. Oh, my God. I love this. I love this so much.
But did Micah learn a lesson there, or is he getting a reward for doing
that? Well, I was going to say, now next time he's like, hey.
Well, if I just call 911 and tell him what I want.
His fifth birthday, he's like, hey, I need a new baseball bat.
Yeah.
Well, let him call Derek Jeter then. Let's see how that works out.
Yeah.
I mean, when they showed up the next day, what would your feeling then be?
Yeah.
Like, these police are getting to
know. It's such a cool ordeal. And, you know, I will say this. I have learned, and I learned this lesson yesterday. If you turn your back on your child for 1 second, they are going to do something you don't want them to do. For once, like yesterday, I walked out of the room for 1 minute. My son went down in the basement. He got his play school basketball hoop and drug it up the stairs. They had water in the base of it, you know, that kind of thing to like make it. Bro, I like walk into the hallway. I'm like, hey, why is there a puddle? Hey, why is there a puddle here? He's like, oh, it's from the basketball goal. I'm like, what? What basketball goal are you talking about? He's like, the one in the backyard. How'd the basketball goal get in the backyard? Oh, I carried it up the stairs. I'm like, what? What are you like? Why are you acting like this is just normal? Like, why did you go down in the basement and get your basketball goal? I was gone for 2 seconds.
Why are you so upset with him? He's staying calm.
Well, first of all, it was a massive puddle and on our hardwood when outside the hallway.
Hand him a mop. Tell him to mop it up.
This is simple, Mike. Ridge is obviously born to be a hooper. Ball his life, man.
Hoop dreams, baby.
Ball his life.
And he started putting up shots too immediately. He's like, Dad, can you raise the basketball goal?
Yeah.
I'll put it from 4 to 6 feet. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Shout out to Ridge. Hey. Well, you know if you ever want some lessons.
Hoop dreams, baby.
You know where to go.
Ain't coming for me, I can tell you.
I got him.
He's got Power Forward written all over him.
Chris has Porzingis, baby.
Well, happy birthday to Micah. I hope the lesson was learned. But coming up, probably a lot of conversations happening in Flowery Branch today. We'll take a closer look at where we think the Falcons could be trimming up this roster. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
The Odyssey app.